సో ఈ ప్రథమ ముండకం అంటే ప్రథమ ఫస్ట్ ప్రథమ ఈ తమిళ సంహో బీ యూస్ ప్రథమ ప్రథమ మంత్రి ఇవెందో ప్రథమ ఫస్ట్ సో ప్రథమ ముండకం ది ఫస్ట్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది ముండక ఉపనిషత్ ఆఫ్ దట్ ఫస్ట్ సెక్షన్ ప్రథమ ఖండ ఈజ్ ఓవర్ ఇట్ అండ్ దర్ వాట్ యు రిమెంబర్ దర్ ఆర్ హౌ మెనీ మంత్రాస్ ఆర్ దర్ నైన్ మంత్రాస్ ఆఫ్ ద నైన్ మంత్రాస్ ఫస్ట్ మంత్రా టెల్స్ వాట్ ఫస్ట్ మంత్రా రివీల్స్ ది పెరినియల్ ఇటర్నిటీ ఆఫ్ ది వేద ఐ మీన్ హౌ వేదస్ ఆర్ టైమ్ ఎనీ వేద బీయింగ్ ఎ టైమ్లెస్ శాస్త్రం ఇట్ రివీల్డ్ ఇన్ ది ఫస్ట్ మంత్ర ది సెకండ్ మంత్ర అండ్ ది థర్డ్ మంత్ర అట్లీ టెల్ యూ ది ఇంపార్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్ గురు పరంపర స్టడీయింగ్ శాస్త్రం విత్ ద హెల్ప్ ఆఫ్ అ గురు and also how this this sampradaya the teaching methodology also is avichinna parampara mean unbroken tradition avichinna parampara isn't it unbroken tradition and the fourth mantra the shaunaka and how the shaunaka approach the teacher is explained here and always upanishadic wisdom should not be given to a person unasked it should be given knowledge should be given to the person who asks for this jnana isn't it and it's also explained through that and then the shaunaka is the shishya and guru angiras is the teacher here and shaunaka asks for the knowledge of that one thing by gaining which everything else becomes as well gained means gained as it were that means one you don't need to know how much ever you know about anything else you need not be knowledge of mithya subject to change but knowledge of the permanent thing is what paravidya isn't it that is why it doesn't mean that by knowing one thing brahman everything else one will be informed of all other things doesn't mean that isn't because the source of knowledge is in fact what the knowledge or the source of knowledge is paravidya which is brahma vidya and the source of knowledge is the reality implied by the term brahman isn't it so that for the question asked by the shishya was what is that one thing gaining knowing which everything else becomes known as it were was the question for which the teacher gave an answer come on there is paravidya and aparavidya paravidya is yaya aksharam adhigamyate that by which the imperishable reality is understood is paravidya that means paravidya implies just akhanda akara vritti jnanam akhanda akara vritti jnanam means the state of mind knowledge which rises in the form of a thought understand and wherein for which the object of knowledge is one imperishable reality isn't it it's called paravidya and here I want to tell you one thing when you say paravidya please listen to me carefully అఖండ ఆకార వృత్తి జ్ఞానం చదువుతున్నావు అఖండ ఆకార వృత్తి జ్ఞానం అఖండ ఆకార వృత్తి జ్ఞానం తెలిస్తే అఖండ ఆకార ఖండ ఆకార మీన్స్ వాట్ నౌ లిమిటెడ్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఇట్ ఖండ మీన్స్ ఎన్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ లిమిటెడ్ బై టైమ్ స్పేస్ ఆర్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ ఖండ isn't it an object which is of the form of which is of the nature of limitation okay which is a limited bound by time space and object is called khanda khanda was isn't it akhanda means the knowledge for which okay the object of knowledge is that which is not bound by time space and object is akhanda okay so what is the object of knowledge here it reality never becomes an object of knowledge but here the subject itself is an object of knowledge understand we always say reality can never be known means what can never be known means it can never be known as an object of knowledge reality can never be known It has never been known, means it can never be known as an object of knowledge, but can be known as a subject of knowledge, as the knower. Isn't it? Therefore, the knowledge for which the object of knowledge is the very subject, not an object, then that subject is what? Invariably present. Isn't it? It's always present in all the objects of knowledge. The objects of knowledge keep on changing, isn't it? But the subject of knowledge never changes. Once you know that, you know the subject of knowledge is the reality, then akhanda akaraha means what? In every bit of knowledge, every known thing, the knower is the invariably present one. Once you know who the knower is, you can never lose sight of the that which can never be lost sight of. Again, you can never lose sight of the reality, the awareness. That is why akhandam. In all, when the time is there, awareness is. The time is not, awareness is. When the space is, awareness is. Space is not, awareness is. Between the time and space, objects are there, objects go, but awareness is always there. Isn't it? Therefore, what is it which is of the nature of akhandam? Which is akhanda akaraha. Akhanda akaraha means, no, this is that which is of the nature of, no, limitlessness is akhanda akaraha. What is the form of reality? A form of reality is, no, limitlessness. How do you say limitlessness is the form of the reality? This is something you have to understand here. That is why that reality is what we say akhanda akara vritti jnana, means knowledge of the reality which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is not bound by time, space and object. Isn't it? We say akhanda akara vritti jnana, that is knowledge of the subject. Isn't it? Therefore, that is paravidya. Paravidya alone is what? Sir Majesty, paravidya. Other than this knowledge, in knowledge of anything else is what? Apara vidya. But apara vidya is what serves as a means of discipline to prepare the mind for this para vidya. Para vidya is the culmination of apara vidya. Why? Because para vidya results in moksha. Para vidya itself is moksha. Apara vidya, why we can inferior? Nothing is superior, nothing is inferior. What paravidya can do, apravidya cannot do. Isn't it? That is the understanding limitation. Apravidya and apravidya, you can have apravidya can help you accomplish artha, kama and dharma, but still it is what? It has limitation. What it cannot help you is, with these it cannot help you discover, you know, your fullness. Apravidya can serve as a discipline to prepare the mind for paravidya. So we know the value of apravidya also. But apravidya, what it cannot do is, it cannot free you from bondage. This paravidya is freedom. Apravidya is preparation for the knowledge which is freedom. Is it clear? Paravidya and apravidya we saw. Then the important thing is, and one verse, this month, in 6th mantra, in one verse, this Shaunaka Rishi explained or unfolded the nature of the Brahman reality. By saying, first, in that mantra, he makes it very clear what Brahman is not, thereby he helps one to arrive at what Brahman is. No, Achakshu Shrotram, Apanipadam, etc. He explained that. And this was the third mantra, and then 7th mantra, Brahman being the only reality being both causes, material and the efficient causes. The Vivarta Upadana Karanam, Brahman, how Brahman is Vivarta Upadana Karanam, how Brahman is also what? Nimitta Karanam of the Jagat, that was explained using the analogy of what? Example, illustration of this spider, Urna Nabihi. Then he explained how this Brahman. Now, the whole the Srishti Prakriya is given, presented in the 8th mantra, 9th mantra. Srishti Prakriya presented in the 8th mantra. Srishti Prakriya is always called Adhyaropa Apavadaha. isn't it? Adhyaropa apavadaha prakriya. So you can say adhyaropa apavadaha means what? Adhyaropaha means superimposition is called adhyaropaha. Apavadaha means negation. Okay, what do you do? Suppose it's a first you say creation is there. When you say it is adhyaropaha, then there afterwards you say there is no creation. Where is the creation? There is only manifestation when you say this apavadaha. Understand? First accepting, I told you last class also how Shruti goes with our perception without denying our perception. Yes, there is universe, it is creation. Who said no? Universe is created. But for the universe to be created, there must be cause. And that material cause is there, which cause also is there. But both the cause of the universe, universe is what? Brahman alone. And instead, Brahman, the whole universe is what? Manifestation of that Brahman. And they don't say, come on, nothing is created, everything is already there. You know, manifestation, something, creation means what was not there before comes into being newly, it is created. What was not there at all is simply brought into existence. Then you can say it is creation. What was there already, you know, again is. Else now, looks differently means what? It is only manifestation, not creation. And Upanishad first tells you, yes, there is creation. Because you all see, there is creation. And who created God? Who is the God? A efficient, the material cause of the universe. Your whole universe is what? The God. And he tells you, your Srishti Prakriya, isn't it? And adhyaropaha. Then apavada is what now? Look at this. All jagatis Ishra, when you say the truth was already there, it only manifestation, isn't it? Of the whole the truth which was already there. Therefore, whole universe is Ishra. The reality means you have resolved the jagat in the Ishra by saying what? Jagat is mithya, Brahman is satyam. When you say this resolving mithya in satyam is what? Is apavada, isn't it? You see, there is no creation, there is only manifestation. This adhyaropa apavada, isn't it? Nishprapancha prapanchate. You say this. So here this is what is explained in the 8th mantra. 9th mantra says, how reality is this just the knowledge, pure knowledge. Jnana Swarupam Brahma. Paramburu Yabadi will Kirana. Arive Arivu Swarupam. Arive Vadivana. What is the form of the reality? Knowledge is the reality. Isn't it? Pure knowledge is the form of reality. Form means what's the nature of reality. In what form do you see the sun? If you say, we see the sun in the form of light. Okay, don't think of the circle and all that. What form do you see the sun? Sun is in the form of light. Isn't it? What is light then? Swarupam. Isn't it? Like that. The light is a gross example. And what is the form of the reality if you say? A reality is in the form of pure knowledge. What is pure knowledge then? It is Swarupam. So how am I to know then? Not as an object, but as a subject, as the knower. Isn't it? Therefore we say, no knowledge is outside of reality. When you say, reality is what? No, Sarvavit. Isn't all knowing? The Lord is the all knowing, omniscient. All the details of all the knowledge is not outside of reality. When you say, reality is what? Lord is Sarvavit. And the source of any knowledge when you say, Sarvajnaha. This is Sarvajnaha. So Lord is both Sarvajnaha and Sarvavit is explained in the 9th mantra. Over. Then I told in last class how it is important to know the Karma Kanda also. Why Karma Kanda is emphasized? I told you, Karma Kandaha teaches Karma Yogaha. Karma Kandaha teaches Karma Yogaha. Why yoga? What is karma and what is karma yoga? See, karma, any action we do, whether it is secular or sacred, mundane or religious, okay? religious activity or mundane activity, secular karma or sacred karma, a karma performed with certain attitude. Now, certain attitude becomes what? Yogaha. A karma performed with a commitment to life of living a dharma, it becomes yogaha. What is yogaha? It means yogaha is that which anything which prepares the mind for knowledge is yogaha. So karma kandaha is karmas are prescribed in the karma kanda of the Veda. Thereby the karma performed serves as a preparatory means for knowledge. Karma has performed, has to produce drishtam phalam, adrishtam phalam. Isn't it? Drishtam phalam, adrishtam phalam. Immediate result and also the punyam which has been exhausted later on. Drishtam phalam, adrishtam phalam. Then what happens? This karma, after drishtam phalam, adrishtam phalam, this we also say, this karma also it contributes for the preparedness of the mind for jnanam. What is karma yoga? Karma kanda prescribes karma rituals mainly to serve as to understand the karma yoga. When you say karma yoga means implies lot of things. It's not simply doing the karma, isn't it? It implies know-how of karma, how to perform a ritual, how to do a given action, how to perform a ritual. It implies the knowledge of action, how to do the karma. Then when you say how to do the karma, it also know what all you require to do the karma, isn't it? Accessories required to do the karma. Then not only that, when you do the karma, the way it has to be done, what phalam it produces also is very much important, because nobody can do any karma without expecting a result. This is what our Swamiji has been dinning at. He must be doing in Gita class also now. You know, nobody can ever do any action without expecting a result. And the Shastram does not say, do your karma without expecting the results thereof. No. The Shastram says, you will all run away from Shastram, because your very purpose of doing the action is for the result. Isn't it? For the result only. With expecting a karma, there's a non-sentence in Sanskrit language, e mandaha api na pravartate prayojanam anudishya. Without expecting a result, without having some view in your mind, you cannot do any karma. It's impossible. So we always do the karma expecting a result. For a given purpose only, you do any karma, you perform a given ritual. Nothing wrong, isn't it? Therefore, the phalam of the karma. So, know-how of the ritual, now the accessories required for the ritual, for karma, and also we say the phalam you gain as a result of the karma, and for which you need the devata to be invoked. Also, you know, who is the devata I had to invoke? Which is the deity to be invoked? Bhagavan has to be invoked in a given form with a given name. The purpose, everything is implied in knowing the karma kanda ritual, isn't it? So this karma is mainly, karmas are prescribed in the karma kanda to make people understand the karma yogaha. So living a life of karma yogaha is also important, very 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 important. Why it's important to live a life of karma yoga? Because karma kandaha, why important is to live karma yoga? Karma yoga prepares the mind for jnanam. Without yoga, no jnanam is possible. Please understand. Yoga is not a direct means for moksha. Yoga itself cannot help you discover moksha. Yoga is not enough for mokshaha, but with jnanam alone will result in mokshaha. Jnanam itself is mokshaha, but without living a life of yoga, no jnanam is possible, which is moksha.
Is it clear now? Therefore, karma yoga serves as an indirect means for mokshaha. In terms of preparing the mind for jnanam, which is mokshaha, karma yoga is very important. That is why the preparation of the mind for knowledge is very, very, very important. That is why karma yoga is prescribed. And wherein you understand, main thing is, any karma actually implies the know-how of karma, which means knowledge of how to do the karma. That knowledge, where is the knowledge? That knowledge is outside of reality, which is Ishvara. So Ishvara has been brought in. Then you say, without knowledge I cannot do any karma. That knowledge, source of knowledge is the reality. When you say, you have done already what? Bhagavan is not the doer, but there is no doer without Bhagavan. Understand, doer is Bhagavan in fact. Therefore, you understand that self, you have brought in Ishvara there. Isn't it? You have brought in Ishvara. And the second thing, once you do the karma also, you are definite about the karma phalam. Irrespective of whether the result is wanted or not, the result is definite. The fruit of the action is definite. That is, what fruit? Drishtam phalam, adrishtam phalam. Because motive behind the karma, the purpose of doing the karma, definitely produces what? The twofold phalams, drishtam phalam and adrishtam phalam. Seen result, immediate result, and the unseen result, which is the punyam, one punyam or papam, one acquires, okay, which is going to fructify later on. When? We don't need to know. Not immediately. As produces. And who ordains that phalam is what? Law. Look at this. It is very, very important. Is definitely any karma phalam is definite. Why it is definite? It is not your choice. We have to understand our choicelessness and helplessness in terms of now, going through the phalam, occurring the phalam, the fruit is definite. It is ordained by the natural law. When you say, again, you understand the physical law being manifest. You understand the law. Understand now. You know very well, it is not your choice. You can never choose result. Now, I want this result. I'm doing this action. This is what the result I want. You can never choose. The result may be to your expectation, may not be to your expectation, but the result is not your choice. It is sometimes desirable or undesirable, expected or unexpected. Result is ordained by the natural law. When you say that law is Ishvara, look at this, you are brought again Ishvara. Law is Ishvara. And once you bring in the law, you definitely, law as Ishvara, when you have can understand, any fruit ordained by the law, which is Lord, is also what now? Prasadaha. Whatever is the fruit, it is becomes a prasadaha. If we can look at the result as ordained by the law, which is Ishvara. If there is no attitude of looking at the law as Ishvara, there is no way of being able to see the result as prasada. If you can see that as prasadaha, then you can have samatvam, which must be reading it in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Samatvam means what? You can accept them with the sameness of mind. Understand? Otherwise, I tell you, people talk about sameness. It is not at all possible to accept any result with sameness of mind. Samatvam yogaha. You can din into your head. Go and tell anybody in the jagat. Bhagavad Gita does not teach anything more than this. Okay? Samatvam is yogaha. Yogaha means what? Having the prepared mind for knowledge. And it's having the ready mind for knowledge. Being ready for knowledge, being eligible for knowledge, being qualified for knowledge. Now, being ready for absorption, being ready for revelation. That ready mind, what is the ready mind? Prepared mind is what? Is yogaha implies? Yogaha implies the prepared mind. Which is the mind which is ready for this jnanam? Which is not affected and afflicted and they're not really tousled by these situations. That means still mind. Which is a still mind? If the I expected this result, it didn't happen. So the mind is so disturbed by these things, that mind is not ready for jnana. Therefore, samattvam yogaha means Shastram talks very high of this samattva buddhihi. Samattvam yogaha, being the same towards all fruits of actions, being the same, remaining the same towards all fruits of actions. All fruits of actions means what? Expected, unexpected, desirable, undesirable, success or failure, whatever comes as a result of an action, we accept it with the sameness of mind. That means there is no elation when it is desirable, there is no dejection when it is undesirable. Why this sameness? How is it possible? It is possible if you look at it as prasada. Okay? How can I look at it as prasadaha? Prasada buddhihi. You know, prasada means what? Not that prasada means... What is prasada? Prasada is just in the attitude. Okay? Prasadaha is a word. Isn't what a prasadaha mean? Prasadaha, we always think of something to eat as a young girl. In India, prasadaha means always something to eat only we think. Prasadaha is my attitude. You know, Bhagavan's gift. Isn't it? Gift from Bhagavan. Happily given by Bhagavan is a gift. Bhagavan's congratulations, okay? In fact, we can prasadaha, we always prasada means, I'll make some prasadam tomorrow, he said. Now somebody, what is always prasada means? You think of only eating food. Prasadaha means, it is attitude, okay? Prasadaha implies your attitude. The looking at everything as gift from Bhagavan is what attitude of, no? Prasada buddhihi. Yes, prasada. That is possible. Then, if you have prasada buddhihi, if you entertain attitude of looking at everything as prasada, then you can accept anything with sameness of mind. Then samattvam is possible. See, prasada buddhya vina samattva buddhihi is not possible. Samattvam, entertaining the same mind, remaining the same towards all, anything which comes in life is possible only if you bring in Ishvara there. How do you bring in Ishvara there? How to bring in Ishvara there? You don't need to bring in Ishvara. Ishvara is always there. Once if you recognize Ishvara being there, how do you see the Ishvara being there? Anything which comes is ordained by the law. Who is the law? Law is Ishvara. Therefore what? It is prasadaha. If it is prasadaha, how can you accept it? Samatva bhavana. Okay? The sameness of mind. This is very, very important. This really helps one to accept, to adjust, to go ahead, to manage your situations. Prasada buddhihi always helps you remain unshaken. Listen now. Remain unbroken. Helps you manage any unpleasant, unhappy situation. This is prasada buddhihi helps you to have samatva buddhihi. Understand now? Samatva buddhihi. Samatva buddhi is possible if you have... Samatva buddhi is what? Yogaha is possible if you have prasada buddhi. Prasada buddhi is possible even if you look at it as what? You have Ishvara... Understand now? Prasada, only if you look at the law as Ishvara. Law as Ishvara. Law ordains the results and law is Ishvara. Law ordains the results. Any intelligent mind can accept this fact. Who determines the fruits of actions? Who determines the fruits of actions? Yaar nirnayikkirathu? Who? Listen now. Okay? Who determines the fruits of actions? Understand? Who determines? It is not my choice. I do the action for the result. Understand? But result may be to my expectation, may not be to my expectation. Why? Who determines this? It's not because of anybody else. Okay? It is Lord determines. In keeping with the punya papa you have in your account. Understand? That is how the law determines the result. And who is that law? The law is Ishvara. Therefore what? I told you once, law ordained is Lord ordained. Therefore what? prasadaha. If it is prasadaha, then I don't grumble. I accept it with the sameness of mind. That mind acceptance is what helps me to remain calm without getting agitated. That is why it's all preparedness. Well, I'm telling you, explaining all these things to you, how important it is to entertain a steady, still mind for knowledge. Why? Because you never attain moksha. You only discover moksha. It is already there. If you have to attain moksha, you will never attain moksha. Even if you attain, and next day it will go away from you. Because once you get it, it will go away. But we are working for moksha. It is already there. And all that we need is, it is available as the very self in your mind. Okay, only in the mind is available, not on the thighs, not on the forehead, not on the nails. And I mean, people all who are Shurpanakas would have found out already by now. Moksha. It is not possible, and moksha is there. It has been discovered. That's why the mind has to remain calm and serene. But is it possible to remain calm? No. We know. Enna mudinginal ellam odungum understand now. Very difficult to make this mind have the calm, serene mind. We talk about the serenity. We never know the meaning of the word serenity, English word serenity or tranquility. We never know. Understand, it's impossible. Therefore, because we can't help projecting, not you are projecting. Understand now, not you are projecting for you, okay. Let me not project my thoughts. No. You are not projecting. Projection is a function of the mind. Projections of thoughts. Understand now. What said do you have your own mind? Projections of thoughts, isn't it? Different reactions and all those things are just the function of the mind which happens naturally. Again, Ishvara, you understand your helplessness. Therefore, this mind, say, autoimmune system, okay, it has to fault, but it had to become calm by itself. You have no say. What else can you do? What, using your will, in what way can you make this, the function of mentation in a sense of different, to maintain the mind serene and calm and quiet, undisturbed, unperturbed, how are you going to do it? You need Bhagavan's grace. Understand? Really grace. This is why we have to understand. If we can tune the mind, I tell all of us would have gone for any best of, we have paid the best fees to anybody. Now, any therapist would have helped you to make the mind calm. See, my mind is a function. We have to remember that. And projections and agitations and lots of things. Understanding has to take place. Understanding alone can bring about the change. Nor can I change, nor can you change, nor can others change. Change has to take, must be born of the understanding. That is why understanding is possible. The mind must be receptive. Isn't it? That is why the Shastram tells here, please understand, this is the only way you can calm your mind. How can you calm your mind? You have to remain without getting agitated. How to remain calm. Any practice of yoga, no pranayama practice. Okay, pranayama practice can help you to get rid of wheezing trouble. That's all. Not the mind. Okay, pranayama exercise. Okay, or physical yoga asana exercises, all this will help you. Any discipline serves. Any discipline is useful. No discipline we undervalue, okay, underestimate. Any discipline is useful. Any discipline serves a purpose. It serves a purpose. But here the Vedanta addresses a different problem. It's an entirely different problem. Discipline is a discipline. Understand now, because it serves a given purpose. Yoga asana practice, it serves a given purpose. Understand? Pranayama, it serves a given purpose. But Vedanta, it cannot do what Vedanta does, definitely. We have to know the limitation of what pranayama cannot do, what this cannot do. Pranayama helps, it's a discipline, means maybe in making a, it's a, it can like, it also becomes yoga. If Purusharatha Nischaya is there, and you can practice, no problem. Bitter Purusharatha Nischaya, moksha is not the goal. Any amount of pranayama will not take any distance from where you are. very, very important. We have to understand the importance of having Purusharth Nischaya and knowing Vedanta also here. Therefore, here it is, mind is a function, and this function, the thoughts just come on their own because of whatever one has in one's subconscious, in keeping with one's past lives also. Thoughts just come and projections, all those reactions, etc., are just, we are helpless. We are helpless. We cannot change. Therefore, that mind has to become calm and quiet. Means it is very important to understand that, to be able to look at everything as anything. If I can accept whatever comes in life with sameness of mind, that samatvam is what? Samatvam is really becomes a yoga. It prepares the mind for jnanam. Then the mind becomes prepared for jnanam. For that samatvam, what do you need to look at it as prasada. And to be able to look at it as prasada, you need to look at Bhagavan's hands as niyati, who gives the prasada, isn't it? So niyati results are ordained by the law, which is Bhagavan. Therefore, it is prasada. Then I can accept the sameness of mind. It comes and goes. This bhavaha is, buddhi is very, very important. That is, the whole karma kanda is in fact based on this concept of Ishvara being karma phala data. Who is Ishvara? Karma phala data. Karma phala data means what? Giver of the karma phalam is Ishvara, Bhagavan. We can't leave Bhagavan, take away Bhagavan, learn dry philosophy. No. Understand, Ishvara is what? Karma phala data. Because who is karma phala data? Law, natural law, physical law. There's no Bhagavan sitting with, you know, playing flute and then with diadem and all that, playing with gopis. Not that Bhagavan here. That's a different story. There's a different purpose. Bhagavan is a different purpose. Here when you say Bhagavan, you know, Bhagavan means the natural law and order backed by the pure knowledge, which is Swarupam of Bhagavan. The Bhagavan is involved. So karma phala data is Ishwaraha. So we have to recognize this Ishvara as karma phala data in karma kanda. This one, okay, this also preparation. That is why karmas are prescribed. Especially when you perform the Vedic rituals, you only know the know-how of rituals, you perform the rituals, you invoke the given devata shakti, you get the result, but nobody can ever know how this karma worked and how this result has been brought. The mechanism involved in the karma is never understood. You just say, my God, Bhagavan's grace, we say. Isn't it? That is why karma kanda is discussed to appreciate Bhagavan Ishvara more. To see Ishvara more as the karma phala data, we see here, and thereby you also develop, your prayer will be more efficacious. You know, your prayer will be more intense and more fervent, and more, you'll be more faithful, and you receive worship also, it will be a very, very significant one. Then you do it with the greatest Shraddha, with unflinching faith, anything you do, then how it contributes for your mental serenity. That is the idea. Karma kanda has been brought in the middle of Upanishad. Is it clear now? It's all over. So we saw in the last class, now I have come to the new class now. Yes, I want to tell you these things, but it's very important to remember. Because people who study Shastram, when they pray, their prayer should be intense. The prayer should be fervent. And it should be highly effective. And the faith should be unflinching, doubtless faith. The prayer will work as a karma. That faith must be there. Isn't it? Because always sometimes we pray helplessly. It's a different thing. And also worship means I genuinely express my thankfulness to Bhagavan. I do feel grateful to Bhagavan for all that Bhagavan has blessed me with. That is very, very important, because Shastra people are taken away from praying and worship, which is not all good. No? Really, one makes a healthy psyche one can have if a person is given to genuine prayer and no, and genuinely I am grateful to Bhagavan that worship is there. Understand, it's very important to have a healthy mind. First of all, see, the prepared mind is for jnanam. First, the mind must be healthy mind, the sick mind. How are you going to make the sick mind a healthy mind? Sickness means it is not our problem. Like I always tell this, a headache, when somebody has a headache, the person who has headache need not be blamed for having headache. It's a problem, some disorder in the system, isn't it? Similarly, some slightest disorder in the subtle mind also, then this sickness means sort of problems, our thinking, wrong perceptions, wrong projections, and our own misunderstandings, lots of things. We are helpless because we cannot think otherwise. We have to understand our helplessness. When I get a headache, whom can I blame for my getting headache? I don't need to condemn myself, nor do I need to, because of Keetan, I got headache. I don't need to tell other person. No, I don't need to blame other person, nor do I need to blame myself. Hey, something has gone wrong somewhere. I don't know what I ate, how I ate, what I did. I don't know where I drank. Something somewhere gone wrong. Okay? Somewhere something went wrong, so I got a headache, some disorder. Had to correct the order. What you do and whatever you need to do, and go to the doctor, and then doctor will prescribe whatever is the problem, and then it prescription works, and then you bring the correct the odd disorder, no, and bring the odd to back to the order, you're okay. Same way mind also, but here mind we're helpless. Why do we perceive wrongly? No, we want to perceive wrongly. Our perceptions are wrong based on our previous experiences. Again, that was wrong. Lots of misconceptions, wrong perceptions and wrong projections. He must have told this, he must have done like this, this must have happened like this. All projections. Understand? That is why this is a sick mind. Understand now? Sick mind. How are you going to make it healthy? Understand? That is why prasada buddhihi will help you convert the sick mind into healthy mind. Prasada buddhihi. Understand? That is why karmakanda. Don't take karmakanda for people to think, come and skip everything and go ahead directly to Upanishads. We are doing Upanishads. Upanishads are the aim for us. We are going to be with Upanishads, isn't it? But prasada buddhihi implies you are being fervent and intense and faithful in your prayers and being also in expressing your gratitude also to Bhagavan, making your worship really the most significant one. Whatever you offer, even if you offer the smallest tulsi leaf to Bhagavan, but the attitude with which you offer, my God, I'm so thankful to Bhagavan for what you have blessed me with. The genuine expression of your gratefulness to Bhagavan, that makes your worship, doesn't matter what you offer. Listen, whatever you offer, the attitude with how you express your gratefulness to Bhagavan, that makes your worship the most significant. That is her only way, by making a worship significant one. No, by expressing a genuine gratefulness to Bhagavan and by praying to Bhagavan genuinely, with fervently and intensely, faithfully, then that is the only way you can make your disturbed, sick mind a healthy mind. Understand? People now, you could act on this point actually. This is very important, doctor. There's no way of, because mind, we don't need to blame anybody for here. This is the odd disorder, isn't it? There's a prayer and worship really keep the mind healthy. Why? Because healthy mind alone becomes the healthiest mind. Which is the healthiest mind? A sick mind cannot become the healthiest mind. Sick mind has to become healthy mind. Healthy has to become healthier. Healthier will become the healthiest. Jnani's mind is the healthiest mind. One can see what is absolutely real, what is empirically real. What is satyam, what is mithya. All the mithya is satyam. Satyam is, understand now, is only satyam. There is no, understand now, mithya outside of satyam. Mithya is satyam, one who can see, and that vision, one who is totally free from fear, totally free from any dependence on his happiness for anything external, and he is the jnani, is the healthiest minded person. To become the healthiest, you have to become first healthy. Isn't it? Who can eat proper food and become strong? To be able to eat well and be able to digest well, to be strong, you should have good system. Isn't it? You already lots of problems. You can't eat that, you can't eat this, you had to... It means what? Lots of problems. First you have to become healthy to make yourself the healthiest. Isn't it? Mm. Similarly, prayer and worship serve as means to make this sick mind a healthy mind. I'm not saying we're all very sickly people. I'm saying we're not adequately healthy. We are healthy minded. People who are chained, who are in the homes, who are on sedatives and drugs, okay, they are the sick, okay, it's very important for them to become healthy. We are not very sick, but we are not adequately healthy. We are healthy minded, we are not adequately healthy. That is why we need this, and that is why karma kanda. Why karma? Why karma? I'm saying this is. Let me tell you next point. So here, and we saw last class how this Upanishad presents, talks about the first and the simplest and the smallest of the karma kanda rituals. It's impossible for us to perform any ritual nowadays. All the rituals now we are doing in the temples and at home, there are substitutes for Vedic rituals. Abhishekam is a substitute for Vedic ritual. Understand? And stitching colorful dresses for the murtis is a substitute for Vedic ritual. Kumbha Abhishekam is a substitute for Vedic ritual. Understand? At home also lighting the lamp, etc., is a substitute for Vedic ritual. But Vedic ritual involves offering oblations into the fire. I tell you, the forms of worship are different, but the spirit behind the forms of any form of worship is one and the same. Understand now? Expressing your gratefulness to Bhagavan, thereby propitiating the grace of Bhagavan in the form of devatas, different natural phenomena, thereby enjoying their propitiation. Yes or no? So how do the devatas propitiate you in return? By blessing you with prosperity. Valam peruga vazhipaadu. Understand now? Why vazhipaadu? Why worship? Why yajna? Why havan? Valam peruga vazhipaadu. Nalathirukku jnanam valathirukku vazhipaadu. Understand now? That in nalam is what? To holistic health. Understand? Valam is prosperity. Do you understand what I'm saying? Worship is for prosperity and pleasures, and knowledge is for freedom, for the total health. Therefore, the karma kanda, and we saw that if we're not really able to do anything, and here Agnihotram ritual is explained how it has to be done. We saw in the first verse, no? We saw how the performer of the ritual sits, kindles a fire in the fire, Agni Kundam, then the well-kindled fire, he has to sit facing the eastern direction, and he offers oblations regularly in the mornings and in the evenings. I told you all these things, how we invoke the grace of Bhagavan Surya and also Bhagavan Hiranyagarbha in the mornings, and Bhagavan Agnihi and Bhagavan Hiranyagarbha in the evenings, and like that we perform these rituals now regularly. In the Ajyadharu, Ajya Bhago Antarena Ahutihi Pratipadiyet, may this person has to offer oblations in the middle of the flames, you know, which come up in between the Ajya Bhagaha, south and northern directions of the Agni Kunda. Why? Because you can't offer oblation somewhere this side or that side, in the middle of the flames. We saw that. Once that ritual is performed, Agnihotram performed regularly. It's a Nitya Agnihotra Karma. You have performed regularly, every day it has to be performed. One day also you don't stop. No, one day I have slight headaches or I'm just getting a bit late, I'm not doing no business. We do it with the lighting of the lamp, okay? We lock the house and go away somewhere for a holiday, and our Bhagavan has to be starving there. No food and no light, nothing. But Agnihotram, karma, no, nothing doing. Every day it has to be performed. So Vedic ritual means not an easy thing. Understand? That's why many people, even in, we hardly find Agnihotris in India nowadays. I went on searching for Agnihotris, you know, and I found an old man. He said, wherever he goes, he comes back to the village by evening. Why? Next day he wants to be there for Parami Agnihotra. That's a disciplined life, isn't it? Simple, quiet life. Not it easy to move out of it, to stay without moving out of the house. Unless somebody, son or somebody who comes, takes over the karma. So Nitya Agnihotra means they have to be there always. So Agnihotra karma performed regularly, properly. It becomes what? Definitely effective. It blesses one with prosperity, blesses one with, you know, everything. It is said, but the same Agnihotram karma has to make it more effective, it has to be performed along with the performance of other rituals. Okay? If the Agnihotram karma is performed without other rituals, it will not, sometimes it will not be effective at all. Sometimes it will not produce. Understand, it won't be effective. In fact, it will spoil even the punyam you have. That is what we are going to see in the next mantra. And the Rishi said, the first mantra, the Rishi said, come on, these Vedic rituals, you can say Vaidikam karma. Say that now? Vaidikam karma. Vaidikam karma means a karma, an action, which is a ritual prescribed in the Veda, is Vaidikam karma. See, one who lives a life enjoined in the Veda is said to be a Vaidikaha. Vaidikarna, we always think of people who do the pujas. That's not true. Vaidikaha means all of us are Vaidikas only. Those who live a life enjoined in the Veda is a Vaidikaha. Whether you are a performer of ritual or not, if you live a life of dharma, you know, karma yogi, then you are Vaidika only. So Vaidikaha. Vaidikam karma means a ritual prescribed in the karma is called Vaidikam karma. It is called religious activity or sacred karma. Not secular or mundane, isn't it? Religious activity or sacred karma or a Vaidikam karma prescribed in the Karma Kanda. And he said, these rituals also, the know-how of rituals, everything has been actually, where are they contained? They're contained in the mantras. Why do we call it mantras? Contained in the form of what? Mantras only. Because those mantras containing the subject of the know-how of rituals were revealed to the rishis. And those yani, yani rishayaha karmani apashyan, where in their mantras they apashyan, may you perform those rituals. Rishi tells the people, may tani acharata, may you perform those rituals. Okay, and then why? Because any ritual performed properly definitely produces phalam. If you are in, okay, whatever is the phalam, it produces lots of phalams. Whatever phalam you want, in keeping with the phalam you want, you can perform a given ritual. So many rituals have been prescribed in the karma kanda, karma mantras, which are revealed to the rishis. Hey Satya Kamaha, those who are desirous of enjoying the fruits of those rituals, may you perform those rituals. The result is definite. That is why it's called Satyam. Okay? Satyam is what? No action ever fails in producing a result. That is why the fruit of action is said to be Satyam. What is Satyam? That which definitely happens is Satyam. Here. Satya Kamaha na tani acharata. May you perform those rituals. Why? Performing the Vedic rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda, or Doing your duties is the only way to have the fruits of actions. Without doing an action, understand now, there is no way of enjoying the fruit of actions. Understand? And the only way to gain the punyam also. To enjoy any fruit, to enjoy anything in life, artha you want, karma you want, pleasures you want. Whether you want wealth, you want prosperity, you want good friends, you want good society, you want, understand now, good name, you want good character, you want emotional strength, you want to be righteous, you want, pleasures, you want pleasures, you want money for pleasures, whatever you want. Whatever you, artha, kama, dharma, whatever you want, you need grace. Anugraha. How live in the grace? Grace you can tap only by doing karma. Phalam. Isn't it? Karma. Bhagavan's grace comes from of grace only. Phalam means what? Phalam, any phalam, anything you enjoy in life is what? Grace actually. Manifestation of grace. Enjoying good health is grace, isn't it? Grace means you can't see grace separately. All of us are able to be together. We are able to see the light means grace. Able to walk means grace. It's all grace only. So grace, to tap the grace, do karma, enjoy anything. What? Sukrutasya, you want punyam. Sukrutasya loke, yeshaha panthaha. There's no other way. This is the only way to tap the grace of Bhagavan. To enjoy, to tap punyam. Understand now? To enjoy the fruits, all fruits of anything, fruit you want in this life, you need punyam, you need grace. For, understand now? Punyam, for punyam you need grace. For grace, do the karma. Yeshaha pamthaha. This is the only way. Understand? And wait and we'll ask, no, for we were only moksha swamini. If for moksham also, you need jnanam. Isn't it? Jnanam is moksha. For jnanam also you need what? Grace. Jnanam you need antakarna shuddhi naishchalyam. For that you want what? Grace. Isn't it? For which, until the mind is prepared, you have to live your life. One has to live one's life. There's no way of attaining knowledge without living one's life. Living one's life implies one's eating, drinking, doing things. And those things, who will feed you? How are you going to eat? How are you going to drink? How are you going to live? Living implies you have to take things from the nature. Then are you returning or not? You have to do something to return. Take from nature, live your life, do something to return. Understand? This is what is living a life. That's why Ishvara. That is how you live your life for knowledge. That do karma. Is it clear now? See, Shastra emphasizes karma. It's very important to do karma. Without doing a karma, you are not contributing. See, you need to live means you need all that you need for living this life. That means you are only grabbing from the nature. And you have to do something. Isn't it? Do something. That's the only way you are taking what you want. Things are, you're not, luckily you don't need to produce anything, create anything. Things are there. You work for that. Get it. Live the life. Then you are good with order. Doing karma, doing a ritual or doing one's duties, being active is in fact being in tune with the order. If you are not active, you are not in tune with the order. You are disturbing the order. Being active is being in tune with the order. Being active again in conformity with dharma, you are in order. You are in tune with the order. Being inactive is disturbing the order, being a burden for the order. Doing wrong actions is being disruptive of the order. Understand? If you disturb the order, you will be disturbed by the order. If you cause you are a burden for the order, you will be burdened by the order. Understand now? If you are in tune with the order, then you are blessed by the order. So if there is without karma, there is no way of being in order, being in tune with the order. Without being in order, without being in tune with the order, there is no way of preparing your mind for knowledge. But live your life. How are you going to see? Moksha is something to be known. For that, jnanam is something to be attained. For that, you have to live your life. How are you going to live your life without being active? Understand? That is why this one thing, you know, the jobless people being supported by the government is really not against Vedic thing. It be given some work, some gardens and roads should be going, they should go and clean. Nothing wrong. What is there wrong? Isn't it? Something or the other one has to do, really. Without doing any action, simply going and signing in the council, getting money, coming back and eating, going to supermarkets, buying, eating and watching TV and sleeping, is really, really disturb the order. This is what the hostages, this is a big thing. Unless they are physically sick and ill. Sick people are always exempted, okay? They have exemption. Sick people, physically invalid people, they don't need to do anything. Or old people who have worked to some extent, they can, even they have to do little. Anyway, see, karma kanda says so much. As I'm talking all this, because karma means, see, it makes us think so much. Isn't it? So here, okay, sukurtasya loke yeshaha pantaha, that one line says so much. Yeshaha pantaha sukurtasya loke, one line tells you so much. Isn't it? Okay. Then we saw next verse, also next mantra also. Yada lelayate harchihi. Say it now. Yada lelayate harchihi.
Lelayate harchihi.
Samidhe havya vahane.
Samidhe havya vahane.
Tad ajabhaga vantarena.
Ajabhaga vantarena.
Like I said, tada.
Ajabhaga vantarena.
Ajabhaga vantarena. Ahutihi.
Ahutihi.
Pratipadayet.
Pratipadayet.
Okay. So, when should one offer, how to do this ritual? May one offer oblations when the fire is kindled well and in the middle of the flames, not in the right, not in the left, but in the middle of the flames, one has to offer oblations. He just talks about the mantra a little bit, then, and actually Shankara says, actually, why ahutihi means ahutihalai, it's a plural word, that therefore, one has to offer four oblations a day. That is why it's called ahutihi, whether in the morning and the evening, and one to Surya, one to Hiranyagarbha, again the evening one to Agni, one to Hiranyagarbha. We'll see the next. Suppose, now he talks about what the performance of Agnihotram karma, what it does, what it does not do, when. That is said in the next mantra. Yasyagnihotram.
Yasyagnihotram.
Adarsham.
Adarsham.
Apaurnamasam.
Apaurnamasam.
Achaturmasyam.
Achaturmasyam.
Anagrayanam.
Anagrayanam.
Atithivarjitancha.
Atithivarjitancha.
Ahutam.
Ahutam.
Avaishvadevam.
Avaishvadevam.
Avidhinahutam.
Avidhinahutam.
Asaptamamstasya.
Asaptamamstasya.
Lokan hinasti.
Lokan hinasti.
Okay. Agnihotram ritual, if not performed regularly, it will not be effective. If it is not performed properly also, it will not be effective. Look at this. It has to be done regularly. It has to be performed properly also. So, if it is performed properly, regularly, it will be productive, it will be effective. Otherwise, all the efforts you have put in to perform the ritual will be waste of time. It will be a mere strain. Why? You perform the ritual 6 days a week, regularly. India, perform a ritual in India, actually in the very hot, especially now, the hot areas. And not sitting in front of the fire is not an easy joke, isn't it? Sitting very close to the fire. It's not like England, where you can fall asleep. Agni Kunda, I mean, very nice. There's no Agni for them, but they always, people always have fire. One thing I liked, all of fireplace I liked, because the cleanest place. Cleanest place. Clean. Isn't it? No? Everything is sort of, it's really clean, really. Where fire is, Agni is clean. And here, and they perform in the hot weather outside, and you have to sit in the front of the Agni Kunda and sit closely to the fire and offering oblations. Every time your hand goes like this, not so much of heat, your hand is exposed to the heat, it was sort of difficult, it's not that easy. And sometimes, suppose in summer what happened, winter, suppose in summer we had rains also in between, and other ways also rainy seasons, that time, no, definitely the wood we need to use, the twigs and wood we need to use, we won't have place to save inside, you know. We had to keep them in the garden and all that, and that way they'll be damp. The wood will be damp, and then there'll be a lot of moisture in that, and when you kindle the fire, it will be really smoky. Initially, you had to put up with the smoke, and then you had to work very hard on a fan, and we can't do that. You had to really fan, a lot of smoke will be coming, you can't just stand there and you can't flay, no, you can't fan. You stand closely, sit closely, and then you had to fan, and then when the proper flames come, until then you had to be doing it, and you had to, once the flame comes, and you had to do Agnihotram, then what, when the smoke will really make you cry, make you, no, really have a lot of tears also. So this performance of ritual involves some strain. So it will be a mere strenuous, useless job if it is not done regularly. Why? When you strain and do something, see, it is effective. What is the use of making it ineffective, you know, the useless? If you are, unless you, all the strain will become vain, waste. We don't really, it's not effective. So do it regularly and do it properly. So here this mantra says, what will the Agnihotram ritual, if it is not done, Agnihotram ritual, okay, performed improperly, irregularly, okay, without the other rituals also, how, what it's going to do? What the ill effect of improper performance of the Agnihotram ritual is said in this mantra. Why should we know all these things? It's not really, it's just part of Upanishad we are learning, okay? So we are not performing rituals, so we have no problem about it. We don't need to worry about these things. Yes, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Agnihotram.
Agnihotram.
Through this mantra, Upanishad reveals something. Any action you do that action properly. The way it has to be done. Even if it is not a Vedic ritual, any action you do it properly the way it has to be done. If you do not know how it has to be done and do it. Because, you know, doing anything, proper performance of action will help you, help it to be perfect, isn't it? More perfect you are, better yogi you are. That is why. Yes, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Agnihotram.
Agnihotram.
See, yes, yeah, Agnihotram. Now, the one who performs Agnihotram ritual, his ritual, Agnihotram ritual, Adarsham.
Adarsham.
See, Adarsham means, I want to know, Darshaha Yagaha. See that now? Darshaha Yagaha. Darsha is a name of a ritual. Darshayagaha, when you say, Darshaha is a yag ritual to be performed on an Amavasya day, new moon day. Darshaha is a ritual to be done on an Amavasya day, a new moon day. Amavasya means a new moon day, dark moon day. Darshaha. Suppose if there are to gain some fruits of results, Agnihotram ritual, one has to perform this, one has to regularly every month, every once a month you get new moon day, isn't it? Every month on a darsha, okay, on an Amavasya day, one has to do this darsha ritual. One has to perform darsha yagaha. Only then this daily performed Agnihotram will be more effective. If once a month on new moon day, if you regularly you perform darshayaga. If you don't perform darshayaga on every Amavasya and every new moon day once a month, if you simply perform the ritual, it will not be very more effective. See, so he says adarsham. Adarsham means what? Agnihotram ritual performed without doing darsha ritual, darsha yaga. Is it clear now? It's once a month. Then, apurnamasam.
Apurnamasam.
See, purnima means full moon day. And ritual performed on a Purnima day or Purnami day is called Purnamasaha Yagaha. Understand? So the Apurnamasam means what? Agnihotram karma, which is to be performed every day. Okay? And along with that, once a month on full moon day, you have to perform what? Purnamasa Yaga. Okay, if without doing Purnamasa ritual, we perform only this Agnihotram, the phalam will be less effective. It won't be totally effective. So, Adarshaha Agnihotram. Adarsham Agnihotram. Apurnamasam Agnihotram means what? Without performing Darshap Yaga or Purnamasa Yaga, performing merely the ritual Agnihotam every day will be less effective. To make it more effective, totally effective, one has to perform regularly Darshayaga on Amavasya day, on new moon days, Purnamasa Yaga on full moon days. Namakara Valayadala. We will think this, is it possible for us? Just we'll know because we are not doing any yaga. That is why we do Namaskaram. Understand now? We can't do anything. What do? We fall flat or do namaskaram, which is purnahuti. Understand now? which is a good yagya. We fall flat is enough. That is the easiest thing. Anyway, darsha adarsham apurnamasam. Then he says, achaturmasyam. See, chaturmasyam means, chatvari means four, masaha means month. Chaturmasyam means what? A ritual to be performed in once in 4 months. So the whole year from Chaitra to Falguna, okay, Chitra to Pangani. Understand now? The whole year you perform 3 times Chaturmasya puja. Understand now? Chaturmasya agyagya. Chaturmasya agyaha means performance of a ritual once in 4 months. So it is started first 4 months, after 4 months you do, again after 4 months you do, again after 4 months you do. So 3 times a year, understand, the whole year, 3 times you perform once in 4 months, called Chaturmasya Yajna. Chaturmasya ritual. Suppose you perform regularly Agnihotram karma, but you don't perform Chaturmasyam. Along with that, it don't perform Purnamasa, don't perform Darsha means, still it will be effective, but it won't be, more effective without performing these rituals, other rituals. Understand? Then, Not only this, anagrayanam.
Anagrayanam.
See, agrayanam means the name of a ritual to be performed at the time of harvest season. In India, we have twice harvest seasons, before autumn and also before spring. Understand now? We always have twice, we have arvada. Now, when paddy grows, our main food, paddy and wheat. No, main food when we had to, now also, of course, vegetables the whole year. We have seasonal vegetables like, you know, whole year we have. And twice, because main crop, we store rice and wheat, etc., grains, all other grains also, these lentils, all of them, we store for the year. You know that? We also store for the seeds also. Seed, for next year, again, to plant, for seeds also, we had to preserve the paddy and all that. Very important. And then every time, every before spring and every autumn, before we have something to harvest and we store and collect. During rainy season, we don't go for food, no. We cut and keep for the rest of the year. Main food. That's why before harvest, we do a ritual. No way. Because even though we go and cut the plants, which are already, we have lived the complete, life is complete. In fact, the paddy is ripe. All the plants are about to die now. We don't go and kill the right, no, the young plant, tender plant. They've grown, they've yielded crops, they're going to die. The dry ones only, we go and cut. Even then, we're very sensitive. We don't cause any pain, we are helpless. We don't want to cause any pain to the plants. So before that, we give on thanksgiving to Bhagavan. You know that? Thank you very much, Lord. You have blessed us with a lot of yielding. Look at this. My whole field is full of grains now. I don't need to worry about food for the next year, whole year. Thank you very much, Mother Earth. Thank you very much, Sun God. Thank you very much, Air Bhagavan, Vayu Bhagavan. Thank you very much. Oh, you know, everything, what everybody we thank, we just bow to Bhagavan. And we offer oblations, thanksgiving. You know that? This is called agrayanam. Agrayana yagaha is done before harvesting. Listen now. And we have to do that. The pongal also. Thai pongal and all. Why? The new rice we take and we cook the new rice. First paddy comes. Rojaji, we always cut the paddy and then we get a fresh rice and we use the fresh rice. We cook and first we offer it to Surya Bhagavan. Only then we eat. First pad, you know, one bag of rice, we cook and offer it to Bhagavan. Then we also give some temples also, wherever prasadam is done. Then only we take, we eat. We won't eat first. First thanksgiving. Surya nukku modal pongal. Thai pongal itself is that only. Sankranti is where they think we do this. No, Sankranti is actually agrayanam only. It's a sort of different. It sankramana means that, no, actually he moves. That time we harvest. Then we offer. It's called agrayanam ritual. Agrayana yajna. We special yajna performed to express our thanks to Bhagavan of Devatas for blessing us with the food. That we do before harvest season. Agrayanam. And this, if we do not perform the agrayana yajna, and we simply perform Agnihotram, Agnihotram will be less effective. If Agnihotram has to be totally effective, perform Agnihotram ritual along with the performance of different rituals. We perform different timings. Chat Amma Darshaha Yajna on Amma Vasya, Purnamasa Yajna on Purnima. Okay? And then Chaturmasya Yajna once in 4 months. Then Agrayana ritual before harvest season. Before you harvest, start harvesting. This all, then it will be more effective. Then he says, Agrayanam. We are relaxing, aren't you? Very, not difficult to understand these things. Very simple. You can, sleeping also can listen. No, you can't listen sleeping. Listening you can sleep. I'm not saying sleeping you can't listen. Listening you can sleep. No problem. And we say, Atithi Varjitam. Look at this. This is the very important thing. Atithi Varjitaha Yajnaha. a ritual which does not have atithi pujanam. Understand? Tithihi in Sanskrit language is a date. English word date in Sanskritam is called what? Tithihi. And this tithihi is based on lunar calendar. Now, a new moon day, after new moon day, we count this as prathama, dvitiya, tritiya, chaturthi, panchami, shashti, saptami, ashtami, navami, dashami, ekadashi, dwadashi, trayodashi, chaturdashi, full new moon day, purnima. After purnima again what? Prathama, dvitiya, chaturthi, black, dark fortnight, bright fortnight, and 15 days we calculate. This is our calendar. Tithihi, 14 days we have. And 15th day will be Purnima or Amavasya. New moon or dark moon. New moon or full moon. And again we have. This Shukla Pakshaha we have. Krishna Pakshaha you have. And this is how tithis are. Dates are calculated. And the tithihi is a day. First day, second day, third day after new moon. After a full moon. Tithihi is a date and day, isn't it? And here, sometimes guests come. No appointment with you. They don't phone you. Can I come to your house? Are you free in the evening? When can I come? No phoning business, okay? No letter, no email. No email, no information. Just suddenly, Amma said, she used to get guests, one family of 6 members. Honey used to just come at 1 o'clock, exactly 1 o'clock, when she cooked for 2 people, okay? Honey, they drop in. Suddenly they come to the house. So without informing beforehand, I'm coming. Just people come and knock at the door. Okay, not knocking at the door. Just the doors are not closed in India. Okay, we keep the doors open from morning till evening. Not even knocking business is not there. Just they walk in. Okay, just they walk in. Oh, please come. Oh, they have come. My God, oh, now I had to, lot of work. No, come. Suddenly you had to see the face. No, whatever is in the kitchen, something will be cooked and there will be served food. Understand? This is, in fact, in India, those days, Vedic period actually, supposed to go out and see in the afternoons, is there anybody who's coming for lunch? We have to invite people. Sometimes beggars will come and they won't even, sometimes they stand somewhere, please come and have food. Doesn't matter, don't need to know the person also. Sometimes people come, known people come without informing you. They are called atithis. The one who comes without informing the date of arrival is called atithi. If he informs you, he is tithi, isn't it? Tithiyam uttva yaha agachati atithi. We don't need to talk about it. Atithi he means one who comes without telling you the tithi. When I am coming. On which tithi I am coming. Which time I am coming. Kalam va, tithim va, okay, anuktva, understand? Without informing you anything, just suddenly drops in. He is called atithihi, guest. Some, they'll be going on pilgrimage, okay, I'm going to Chidambaram, and I can, okay, Dr. Shiva is living somewhere nearby, let me walk into his house. Just we walk in, and we go all the way, most they'll be home. Somebody other will be there. No, the cow's never locked and some go away, no, that's why we can always just drop in. Nowadays in India also culture is changing, okay, but generally that's just this culture. And always, we always go out to look for somebody, to feed somebody, okay. And otherwise people also, we invite people for the pujas, because tithi. And nowadays what happens, invite means make it a more socializing event. You don't worship, you don't pray, mind all the time worried about organizing things, arranging, then you forget the lose the very important, what is important is the mind. You have to be peaceful and quiet, that we lose. Either you make it more a social event, or you make it what? That's not right, isn't it? There's people also who come to the puja, they understand the difficulty, they won't expect you to immediately look after them and all that. They don't know, nobody find fault with any organizing things. Be free. Puja, I mean, they all come for Bhagavan's grace. Part of it, they also help you do things. Sit quietly, listen, enjoy. Time it goes later, it doesn't matter, eat and go. That is, no? Atithi means, when atithis come, we have to feed atithis. Because atithi, Bhagavan comes no more atithi. Isn't it? Having guests for food is very important thing. feeding people is very, very important thing. Now, guess here. So, atithi varjitam. Without offering food to other person, all the time only we eat. What is this? Okay. We also have some people sometimes in our house to feed on that. Okay. So, atithi varjitam means atithi pujanam, without having worshipped the atithis, without having fed our guests, doing some ritual, again is what? Is not effective. It won't be as effective as it should be, isn't it? Suppose if you have tithi, now if you have guests, with atithi pujanam, you perform the ritual and have guests and feed them, then you also eat. That's why always prasada vinyogaha is very important. With the food only, the puja becomes complete. Until the food is served to the people, the puja is still incomplete. Angam. The unit of the act of ritual is feeding people also. So in temples also, after the puja, the prasada vinyoga distribution, not that all we cook and eat everything what we want. No. Water you cook and offer to Bhagavan, clean food, and that also served, distributed. With that, the puja becomes complete. So here, atithi varjitaha agnihotraha. Understand now? Atithi varjitam agnihotram. The agnihotram ritual, okay, which performed without entertaining some guests, at least one guest, no, then is not as effective as it should be. Atithi varjitam. Definitely is not effective, he says. At least anagrayanam, it is okay. It will be less effective. Anagrayanam agnihotram, effective but less effective. Adarsham agnihotram, effective but less effective. Apurnamasam agnihotram, less effective. Achaturmasyam agnihotram, less effective. But I tell you, atithi varjitam is totally ineffective. Okay? Totally, it won't be effective at all. It will be a just waste. Mere strain. Then, ahutam. Ahutam means offered. Ahutam means what? Irregularly offered. If you regularly offer, okay, one day one spoon ghee, next day two spoon ghee, okay, today's ghee is over, so let me offer only this much. No, regularly you have to follow, okay. Whatever you are doing, it has to be done regularly. Sunday I'm going out, so Monday I'm not there, Tuesday come back and do the yajna. No. 2 days I take off, holiday. So I'm not doing, no means what? Ahutam. So irregularly offered oblations become what now? Ahutam agnihotram. Irregularly done agnihotram is what? Ahutam atithi varjitam. Ahutam will be totally waste. It won't be less effective also. It will be totally effective. It will be totally waste. And then he says, Aveshvadevam. Aveshvadevam means the group of devatas called Vishve Devaha. So, and this Aveshvadeva, the Vaishvadeva is a ritual. Vaishvadeva Yajnaha is a ritual one has to perform to please these devatas. If we perform Agnihotram without doing Vaishvadevam, then also it won't be effective. Mainly he says, Ativajitam Ahutam. Aveshvadevam also it's okay, it will be less effective. He says, Avidhinahutam. Avidhinahutam means performing a ritual as per the injunctions, Vedic injunctions. As per the rules and regulations followed in the Veda, you perform the ritual. Here, now the temples, nobody knows how they perform, In fact, we are not supposed to use camphor to start the ritual. But nowadays people use that. How we have to, in fact, tell you how we have to do. In India, they had to have the two sticks, okay, and they had to really rub the two sticks, and they had to, in friction, you had to produce fire, and that's what they had to start the fire, yajna with. This is a big thing, it will take time, you know that. It's not that nowadays people just put everything, put civil kerosene and it is not the way you would perform the ritual. No, that's not the way. Now you have to put two sticks, you have to really ignite, no? You have to really cause, the friction should produce fire, and then you use that fire. That's properly done. One of them saying here. And then also suppose what all Upanishad says, then the mantra says, offer cooked rice. You offer the rice, which is not cooked properly. Sometimes in a hurry, you know. And they say, use pure ghee. What pure ghee? Which little doesn't matter, something which is sold in the shop, and buy some ghee. It is not the pure ghee, okay? Like that, no, avidinahuta means without following the vidhi prescribed in the mantra, doing a ritual as, no, not doing the ritual as per the rules laid in the Veda. You do the way you want. So, improperly done ritual is avidinahutam. Ahutam means what? Irregularly done. So, here he says, Atiti varjitam avidinahutam ahutam. Irregularly done agnihotram. Improperly done agnihotram without following the rules and regulations of the Vishastram. And without yajna performed without entertaining any guests, atithis, then that agnihotram will be totally, what now? Useless. I mean, they will not produce any phalam at all. At least avaishvadevam, anagrayanam, adarsham, apurnamasam will produce some phalam. But not totally effective. But these, without these three, they will be mere strain. Vain. Okay, your strain will be in vain. It won't be any effective at all. That is what is he saying? Adarsha matram ahutam avidinahutam. He says, such a thing, asaptamam stasya lokan hinasti. Hinasti means what? It destroys. What? This improperly, irregularly done homa, agnihotram, not only it does not produce any phalam, it also destroys the punyam you have in store. Look at this. Love matter paravalla. At least attavaram irukkanumilla. Now you should not lose anything. Hinasti, it also destroys the punyam one has earned for seven janmas. For seven more generations to come, this person will not have, okay, pindam and udakam. Unakku thanni kediyadha apuram. Yel janmatukku. Understand, they say, asaptaman lokan hinasti means, why do this? Better don't do something wrongly, isn't it? The asaptaman lokan hinasti means, in fact, Shastram talks about seven lokas. What is that? No, we say bhuhu, bhuvaha, suvaha, mahaha, janaha, tapaha, satyam. We have seven lokas. And don't ask whether I have seen them and come back, okay? Shastram says, I'm also talking to you. I haven't seen even local crews, that is where Devi Amma knows, okay? What is going to Alaska? I don't even know that. I haven't been there. So why should I talk about seven lokas? And for us, seven lokas are, at least Rupal has gone to France, somewhere. I haven't been anywhere, okay? And I don't know all those things. There are seven lokas, definitely none of us know anything about Sapta Lokaha. But these lokas are just talked about by the Shveda. And Shastram says, if you perform rituals, if you live a life of karma yoga, do your duties properly, you also perform these certain rituals, and if you also meditate, look at this, if you've given to some upasanam you do, as a result of which you earn lot of adrishtam punyam, thereby you can go to, in keeping with the amount of punyam you have, you can visit any of these lokas. Bhuhu, bhuvaha, suvaha, mahaha, tapaha, janaha, satyam. Later you can go. Lots of punyam you have, you go to satyalokam. Little less punyam, another satyaloka. Okay, another loka. Some punyam, very little punyam, next, okay, bhuhu. Understand? But so we are here, all above us. Now below us there are, what? No. There are, okay, seven. Again, so now, so we are here on the eighth. And above us there are six actually. So, Chaturdasha Bhuvanani, four worlds we talk about. And what I tell you, wherever you go, you exhaust the punyam you have, you have to be born again, there is no mokshaha. That is why Upanishads, the same Veda, which describes this other world so beautifully, and the pleasures you can enjoy there, is better pleasures than in Greece, you know that. Yeah, and all those things, Egypt and all that. And then, so it has so beautiful, when you really read those things, my God, gee, I should definitely one day go and see that. You know, like that we really feel like going. That very, 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 very tempting words are there. Okay? Very, or flowery language we say, with very, very nice. You know how it was, the place was, you know how it is surrounded by woods, the beautiful water in between, lots of colorful flowers, pleasant climate, lots of things people tell, even if you feel like going for a holiday there. Imagine Veda describing pleasures, heavenly pleasures, and different loka, not one world, okay, seven loka, not one. And so tempting. Perform any amount of rituals with the practice of upasanam, one can go to seven lokas. Understand? And then, but once you exhaust your punyam, like how Swamiji says, you hard earned money, take and go. Once the money gets over, you come back for again regular routine to earn more, isn't it? Like this, you have to come back to this Manisha Loka. There's no moksha involved. Jnanam is more. Same also, Veda talks about the limitation of karma and karma phalam. You know, all the limitation of enjoyment of pleasures, even the heavenly pleasures will come to an end. There's no moksha. Be very careful. Don't get carried away by the flowery language. Be conscious. Don't waste your time here. Better know the truth now. Enjoy anything. Know the limitation of everything. Know the truth here. Be free here itself. That's what Veda says. No? But here he says, if this Agnihotram ritual, if not performed, okay, properly, regularly, and without having guests, without really having worshipped guests, then that Agnihotram won't be effective, but it will also destroy your punyam. That means what? You will be deprived of visiting any of these lokas. Oh my God, look at this. Satta lokan hinasti means you will be deprived of visiting any of these lokas. No buhu visit, no visa to any of these lokas. Second thing, another meaning given by Shankaracharya is not simply not visiting this, not being able to visit these any of these lokas. For seven more janmas, you will be deprived of pinda and udakam. Ellu thanni kedaikadappa ellu janmangalukku na. Now, after all the following seven more janmas, you will not have pinda and udakam means you will be deprived of this punyam. You will be deprived of punyam. No, generations. No, you won't have like that something they say. I mean, you won't be getting this. Therefore, what does it say now? What does the mantra say? If you want to perform a ritual, Agnihotram ritual, perform it regularly, properly. Otherwise, remain quiet. Isn't it? And not only that, through this, what does it say? A not only Agnihotram ritual, any mundane activity you do, please understand, activity implies you are being active. Being active is very important to live the life totally. Full life is lived only when you are doing your active, physically active. Understand, that activity must be done properly and regularly in keeping with dharma. That is, first by being active, you are in tune with the order. Understand? You are in tune with the order. And when you're active, you are not active simply, you are active being conscious of dharma, then definitely you are in tune with the order. If you are not active, you are not in tune with the order. If you are active, improperly active also, you are not in tune with the order. You are disruptive of the order. Understand? then you will be disturbed by the order. If you don't want to be disturbed by the order, you better be in tune with the order, for which you need to be righteous. You cannot be righteous without being active. Is it clear now? How can you be righteous without being active? You have to be active to be righteous, not to be righteous also. If you are active and non-righteous, if you are non-righteously active, you are disturbing the order. If you are inactive, you are disturbing the order. If you are righteously active, you are in tune with the order. It is very important for one to live the life, and then to live the life in tune with the order. That's the only way you can become mentally healthy. So, okay, now 3 points I told you today. One has to live the life to accomplish the end in the form of knowledge. And living the life is possible, useful and meaningful only if you can accomplish the end. If you cannot accomplish the end, living the life becomes what? Useless and meaningless. So the life is lived usefully and meaningfully, for which you need to be active. Being active is, you have to be in tune with the order, isn't it? Being active is to be in tune with the order, and to be active in harmony, in tune, righteously is also what? Is to be in tune with the order. If you are not active, you are not in tune with the order. If you are non-righteously active also, you are disturbing the order. If you disturb the order, then you will be mentally sick always. If you don't want to be, understand now, you want to be healthy mentally, then be in tune with the order. If you are mentally healthy, you'll be prepared for knowledge, you'll be free. If you are mentally sick, you will never come out of sickness. There's no moksha possible. Look at this. This is what Upanishad, through the mantras, it teaches the subtle fact. Knowledge is moksha. For that knowledge, you have to be prepared. You have to be mentally healthy. You are not sick. You are not adequately healthy. To be mentally healthy, thereby to be prepared for jnanam, which is moksha, to make this life meaningful and successful, I have to be in harmony with order. I can be in harmony with the order only if I am righteous. To be righteous, one has to be active. There's no way of being righteous without being active. You have to speak to make the value of, you know, being truthful, to make it alive, you have to be speaking, you know. There's no way of being active, righteous, without being active. But being active, it is possible for one to be active non-righteously also. So being inactive and being non-righteously active, you are not in tune with the order. Not only are not in tune, you are disturbing the order, which will become a victim of the problems caused by the order. Is it clear now? That is why it's very important to do one's duties, know what your responsibilities are, know what your duties are, what you have to do, then you do. Know what your duties are, know what your responsibilities are, and do what you have to do. This is the teaching. Very, very important. Once you know this thing, you understand this is how Ishvara, this is the order. Why should I do the action? Why should I be active? If my grandfather has earned a lot of money, why can't I sit and then all the time, and then I don't need to go and work, and then I don't need to do anything. I have money. Why should I work when the government is giving all benefits? Why should I go and work? I can just eat and sleep and drink and go to the toilet and then watch TV. Go. Live and go. I tell you, you are highly, highly disruptive of the order. Understand now? You're disturbing the order. Why? Because that way you will be mentally sick. That is why, how can I be mentally adequately healthy? For physical health and also for mental health, to be adequately healthy, to be strong, enjoy a strong and robust body and mind, one has to be active righteously. This is what is teaching. Understand now? Very important. That's the only way. This is the first base, the first fundamental thing to be eco-friendly. You see, first, I want to really tell that day when PTG was going for this 10-10 program, to sign, because he said, okay, to avoid global warming, something. And all the government benefits to the healthy young people. They stopped, first thing. That girl didn't add that, no? And they should be made to something or the other. You had to do something. Not right. Anyway. Don't you think such a beautiful thing, isn't it? To know this. Very subtle. Even that karma, it is starting. Talking about this ritual. What apparent? Simply read the verse. What do you get? Achaturmasyam, apurnamasam, adarsham. If you put without that, darsha is adarsha. Without purnamasa is apurnamasa. Adarsham, apurnamasam, avaishvadevam, avidinahutam, ahutam, anagrayanam, agnihotram, yasya, tasya, asaptaman lokan hinasti. This is the mantra. But what you have to learn here is, there is a purpose of living this life. That is in the form of knowledge of the truth. And that knowledge one has to gain only in the mind. And what is to be known also is the very truth of the mind, not elsewhere. Knowledge has to happen in the mind of the truth, which is the very self, truth of the very mind. But all that you need is mind for that. What do you want for khichdi? Just the rice and moong dal with a few cumin seeds and salt. Nothing else. Similarly, for moksha, what you want is, you don't need anything. The mind is there, truth is very much there. Fullness is already there. Where it is available? In the mind. But you don't know how to open and how to discover it. For the mind has to become absolutely healthy. Adequately healthy. For which you need to be physically healthy, and this adequate physical and mental health is dependent on your being in tune with the order Ishvara. And your being in tune with the order Ishvara implies your being active righteously. You're being active ethically. You're living a life morally. Listen now. That is what is very important. That is what is yoga. Understand? You're being inactive and being non-righteously active. You are not in tune with order. Then there's no way of becoming mentally adequately healthy. There's no way of being able to have the vision of the truth. Okay, go for your tea and come back.